read all scheme-related documents carefully.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Macro Sutra. I'm TCA Sharad Raghavan, Deputy Editor at The Print. And this time we're going to be talking to you about a finally released data by the government, which is none other than the Household Consumer Expenditure Survey. Now, it's been long awaited. We've been waiting for this data for about 11 years. And finally we have it, and it reveals quite a lot about how Indians are spending their money, across income groups, across urban and rural, across states. There's a lot of data there, a lot of insight into how we are spending our money. And to delve into all of this, we have with us, as always, Radhika Pandey, Associate Professor at NIPFP. Thank you, Radhika, for joining us. So now, Radhika, let's start with first, what is this survey? When was it last done? And why is it important?
So this survey is the Household Consumption Expenditure Survey. It is done once in every 5 years to gauge the extent of consumption expenditure by households. So it's a survey, and the recently released survey talks about the consumption pattern of 2.6 lakh households in the country, consisting of 1.5 lakh rural households and 1.1 lakh urban households. So it is supposed to be conducted every 5 years. The last survey was conducted in 2017-18, but owing to quality issues and the findings not in tune or in sync with some of the other data, the government did not release the survey findings officially, and therefore we do not have the consumption expenditure survey for 2017-18. What last we had was 2011-12, and now it was, as you rightly pointed, it was long overdue, because it tells us about the monthly per capita consumption expenditure. So that's the important variable or the important statistic that is released by this survey, that people are asked how much monthly you are spending on consumption.
And on what all?
And then what is the share of various constituents or various items within that monthly per capita consumption expenditure? How much you are spending on food? How much you are spending on non-food? So there is a detailed questionnaire which is asked to the survey participants. And this time around in 2022-23, they have changed the methodology. They have improved upon the methodology. So now the set of commodities is 405. So on the basis of 405 commodities, the monthly per capita consumption expenditure is estimated. Earlier, it was lower, somewhere around 370 odd commodities. So there's an increase in the number of commodities. The mode of asking questions has improved. Now there are multiple visits made by the agents. So all in all, it's a much improved methodology. The other important part is that this survey is being conducted in two rounds. So what we have now is the first round, and the second round is ongoing. The the field visit of the second round started in August 2023, and we will have the results of that survey, which will kind of verify the findings of this survey this round, and those findings we will have around the same time next year. So that is this survey, and why it is important, because the CPI weights are based on this, the estimates that we get from there.
So because retail inflation.
The consumer price index, we know it's an index. It is a basket of commodities which is typically consumed by an Indian household. So how much weight you are assigning to food, how much you are assigning to the various non-food items, they are all derived from the share of monthly per capita expenditure, which is derived from this survey. So this survey is important. That is why right now we have the CPI base year also at 2011-12, which is in sync with the previously conducted consumer expenditure survey. So now with this survey, it is expected that the CPI weights will also be get recalibrated, and then it will better present the position of the state of inflation in the economy.
So, I mean, it's actually quite simple. Just for you in your own household, after every few months, you look at your expenditure, you see how much am I spending on Uber, Ola, how much is going to Zomato and Swiggy, how much am I spending on fuel, how much is going towards my kids' education, all of that, you look at it, you see, you know, which is rising alarmingly, which is not, you know, which has remained stable over time. So this is being done in a survey manner across the country. That's basically it. And as the data is important to you individually, the same way it's important on a national level as well, because governments can see how stretched households are. Are they coming close to, like, are they overspending on certain items? Are their income levels being strained because of their expenditure on particular products? So all of this this data is very important.
Yeah. So it helps in assigning or improving the efficacy of government policies. You know, exactly. How much, whether it has lifted, what kind of policies, like the free food grain policy, whether it has lifted the consumption pattern of households or not.
Right.
Because they are getting free food grains, whether it's, they are able to allocate part of their expenditure on some of the other items. So all these things will get clearer with this survey.
Right. And now touching upon exactly that, how has consumption grown overall and how has the growth been in rural India versus urban India?
Yeah. So the survey presents estimates for rural and urban.
Right.
So what we see, so one caveat is that, you know, the estimates are not perfectly comparable because the methodology has improved.
Yeah.
But given that, if we make a comparison, what we see is that rural consumption, so we, you know, compare 2011-12 consumption expenditure, monthly per capita consumption expenditure with the monthly consumption expenditure in 2022-23.
Right.
And we see, we estimate the growth, we find that rural consumption has grown at 9.2%.
Okay.
That is the annual compounded growth rate, 9.2%.
Right.
Urban consumption has also grown at 8.5%. So the first key highlight is that the rural consumption has grown at a faster pace as compared to urban consumption between 2011-12 and 2022-23.
This is so not taking inflation into account.
This is taking inflation.
Taking,
yeah.
Inflation.
Now, if we exclude inflation and
right.
we talk in constant terms, the pace of growth eases, you know, it's much, it slows down
right.
and expectedly so. And then we see that the growth is roughly around 3% between 2011-12 to 2022-23.
For both rural
and urban, but rural again slightly more. Urban is 2.7 in precise and rural is 3.1% in real terms. So that is the first key highlight from the survey.
Okay. And now when we talk about rural, urban, and we talk about how much people are spending, we also come up against the concept of inequality. The first type of inequality we can look at is between urban and rural.
Yes.
So what does the data show about that?
So because rural consumption has risen faster on an average than urban consumption,
right.
that is why we see that the urban-rural gap has narrowed over time, you know, across this 11-year period from 2011-12 to 2022-23.
Right.
It means that we are moving more towards a broad-based growth because urban consumption has risen, but rural consumption has risen much more than that. So the gap between urban and rural consumption has narrowed. So the gap used to be more than 80% in 2011-12. It has now come down to 71% as a share of rural consumption expenditure.
So that's good news.
So it's good news, yes. And more importantly, if we, you know, again, the survey gives the consumption levels across 12 classes of households.
Income.
Of yeah. So actually, they rank on the basis of consumption expenditure.
Oh, consumption expenditure.
Yeah. So they have 12 classes on the basis of consumption expenditure, 0 to 5%, 5 to 10, and mm-hmm. so on. So here we see, and if we compare the urban and rural consumption gap, it is lower for the lower end of the pyramid.
So basically, poorer people,
the gap,
the disparity is less.
Less, yeah.
That's
the disparity
brilliant.
Is less at the lower end of the pyramid and it increases at the upper end. So typically, the gap between consumption expenditure for an urban and rural household at the top 10% or 20% is higher.
Right.
As compared to the gap between urban and rural at the bottom 10% or the bottom 5%. There, the gap is much lower. So again, signifying a broad-based growth.
But that also then means that the government has been able to target those people at the lower end
yeah.
both rural and urban, but especially rural.
Especially rural. So that is why the gap, rural and low income, those have benefited the most. And that is what the data shows, that consumption expenditure of the rural and within rural, the lower consumption level households, their consumption has increased and therefore the gap has narrowed. So like the overall average gap is 71%, but for the lower strata, it is only 46%. So it is... it shows the effectiveness of policies in lifting the income and the consumption levels of the poorer households, particularly in the rural regions.
That should be, I mean, that's something the government would be very happy about. It has been trying to target exactly those households, whether it is through NREGA or the free food grains. It's the rural poor, especially, that the government's been trying to help. And if it's working, then that's good. Now, there's also state-wise data that they've given. So when it comes to the state-wise disparities, which are the ones that lead in terms of rural consumption growth and which are the ones that lead in urban consumption growth?
So rural, we see that states like, you know, so like overall we said 9.2% is the compounded growth rate, annual growth rate of consumption expenditure monthly. But states like Tamil Nadu, Bihar, Uttar Pradesh, Madhya Pradesh and Andhra Pradesh, these are the states that have led in the growth rate in rural consumption. Surprisingly, states, the agri-led states like Punjab and Haryana, their growth in consumption from 2011-12 to 22-23 has not been that high. For example, for states like Bihar, it's touching 10% between 2011-12 to 22-23. But for states like Punjab and Haryana, it is much lower. So that is the picture overall. While there has been an increase in consumption growth, but there are these significant state-level disparities, both at the urban level as well as at the rural level. And we see that mostly the same kind of, same set of states tend to lead in both rural as well as urban. Another state is Odisha, that has also done very well in terms of consumption growth, both in terms of rural as well as in urban.
Okay, and so then that also should mean that the states that have been lagging continue to lag?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, I see. So that's then maybe something that these state governments need to take a look at and try to address. Okay, and now we've talked about urban-rural, we've talked about within consumption levels, how things have changed, and we've talked about state-wise. But when it comes to particular households and how they're spending their money, and how they're allocating it between various different things, has that changed?
Yeah, that is very interesting. And that reflects something about the changing consumption pattern and the changing preferences of households. So what we see is that firstly, at a broader level, the share of food has declined, both for rural as well as urban households. The share
of
food,
that's also a good sign.
That is a good sign, because typically when economies develop, the share on discretionary items tend to rise. Right. The share on necessities tend to fall, because beyond a point, we can't keep consuming food. Yeah. So the share of discretionary items tend to rise. And so that is what we are seeing. And the share, the decrease in the share of food is more pronounced for rural regions, which is again a good sign. So we have seen that the share of food has fallen from 53% to 46% between 2011-12 to 22-23. Share of food in urban was already lower and it has fallen further from 39 to 36%.
Right.
So now this has implications for the CPI weight, because if if we continue to assign say 45% weight, we will keep overestimating our inflation.
Right.
Whereas people are spending less on food comparatively as compared to 2011-12. So that is the first broad finding. But what is more interesting is within food, the share of cereal has gone down drastically. And the share of cereal has gone down drastically for rural population.
Is this because of the free food program?
That is one. But the thing is that this is from 2011-12 to 22-23.
Uh-huh.
And the free food grain scheme wasn't there in 2011-12. So it's only in recent years we can see the impact. But here we are seeing from 2011-12 to 2022-23, a period of 11 years, the share of cereals in the overall consumption expenditure monthly has fallen from 10% to somewhere around 4.9% for rural. So it's almost half. And also the share of expenditure on vegetables, spices, edible oils has declined. What has increased is the share of expenditure on milk and milk products, fruits, but most prominently on processed foods and cooked meals. So people are buying a lot from Swiggy, Zomato, from 2011-12.
That has to be urban, right?
It is rural. It is rural. So that is what the data is showing. It's very interesting that the biggest jump when we see a decline in cereals, which constituent has taken over the share?
Right.
It is milk, fruit, definitely yes, but the biggest jump has taken place in processed foods. And processed foods also include cooked meals. So it's a broader category, processed foods, but if you read the definition, it also includes purchased cooked meals. So we are seeing a distinct shift in consumption pattern.
Which is typically not what you associate with rural
consumption.
Yeah,
we sitting here do not associate, but that is what we are seeing in the rural consumption pattern. So that is something in the food component.
Right.
Yeah. Again, now if we look at non-food, the share of conveyance has increased, transportation has increased.
So what does that include? Is that say Uber, Ola, petrol, diesel? So fuel?
Yeah. No, fuel is a different thing. This is Uber.
Uber, Ola, and does your own car and all of that?
Yeah, that
also
will also be included. Okay. The other prominent thing which has increased is consumer services like beauty parlors, barbers, spas.
Right.
So that has increased. What has fallen is the share of expenditure on clothing and footwear. That has fallen. The share of expenditure on fuel has fallen. The share of expenditure, puzzlingly, the share of expenditure on education has fallen. And this is a cause of concern, we are not able to understand why the share of expenditure on education has fallen.
Yeah, it's not as if fees has come down.
Yeah.
Fees has actually increased.
It has increased, or maybe government has put some freeze on fees that has resulted. But this is one thing that we see in both rural and urban, that the share of expenditure on education has fallen. The share of expenditure on medical has increased. And now medical is also, there are two categories, including hospitalization and excluding.
Okay.
It is only the excluding hospitalization where the share has increased.
So again, that is medicines and the at-home care and all of those devices that you buy.
Yes.
I see.
So this is the overall picture emerging from the consumption pattern, that from the food side, the share of cereals, vegetables, spices has declined, and the share of processed foods, milk and milk products, fruits has increased. And within non-food, it is the conveyance and transport, consumer services, these things have, durable goods also, durable goods have also increased. So these are some of the items where we see an increase. And interestingly, even within the food, if we compare the growth rate, it's very interesting that the highest growth we are seeing is for dry fruits.
Wow.
So that even though the base is small,
right.
Base was small in 2011-12. But what it is all telling us is that, it's a big learning for all companies or manufacturers of necessities that, understand that the consumption pattern of household is changing, not only in urban, in rural as well.
But the rural Indian is actually very different from
yes.
what you
normally perceive. So, and that is the very interesting aspect of the consumption expenditure survey that is coming out, that, consumption is moving from need to want. What we want, that expenditure is increasing, even at the cost of spending less on necessities and staples and so on.
Fantastic. And so now we have a couple of audience questions. One, the person hasn't named themselves, but the question is, I saw that there's almost a 50% decrease in the consumption of grains, as you pointed out, but only about a 6-7% decrease in terms of expenditure on food. This trend is more or less the same since 1990. Does it mean that people are consuming other food items more? Or inflation has risen, or income has fallen, or all of these are contributing factors?
No, so as we discussed, it's not that income has fallen. Per capita income has consistently increased.
Right.
But within the food basket, the consumption pattern has changed, as we talked about, that the share of cereals has fallen drastically. The share of processed foods has increased. There is a visible shift in the preferences of consumers, and which is getting reflected that, you know, share of cereals has fallen by 50%. Overall share of food has fallen by 6 to 7%, right, because the share of cereals has been taken over by the other commodities, by the other food commodities, namely mostly the processed food. So that is the...
This actually also might have health implications, right? Because they say that processed food isn't always that good for you. It's got a lot of chemicals. That's why it's called processed food. So, so there might be health implications.
There could be. And yes, but we, once the full data comes out, because right now we only have what is called the fact sheet. Yes. We do not have the detailed data. Now, once we have a granular data, we will also know within like consumer services, how much is being spent on barber, beauty parlors and other things. And here also in processed foods, there could be some subcomponents. We will be able to see whether it's the purchase of cooked items from Swiggy, Zomato that is taking over a greater share, or it's just the processed foods that is taking over a greater share.
Right.
But right now we can only comment on the broader picture. But that clearly signals a shift in the consumption pattern of households.
Wow. And now Gautam has a question which might not be directly related, but it does have a tangential connection. He asks, with GDP showing a higher than expected and a very healthy growth rate, but consumption not picking up and the gap between GDP and GVA being abnormally high, what does this signal to? That the economy is not as good as it looks, or it's being boosted by unsustainable components, or is there some flaw in the data capturing methods?
See, 2 points here. Firstly, the gap between GDP and GVA we found was in the third quarter, the results that came out, the GDP estimates that came out on 29th February. And there it was a peculiar thing because of the 32% increase in the net indirect taxes. So what is the difference between GDP and GVA is the tax component and the subsidies component.
Yes.
Subsidies is added in GVA, whereas indirect taxes are added in GDP. Now, in the October-December quarter, the rollout of subsidies was limited, so it did not show up in GVA, but tax collections were robust, so it showed up in GDP. So that was the reason for the wedge between GDP and GVA. But if we look at GVA, it was on expected lines. It was 6.5% for the third quarter. It was on expected lines, and within the components, agriculture, industry, services, all growth estimates were on expected lines. So that is point number one. Point number two is that within the overall GDP structure, the biggest cause of concern is consumption slowdown.
Yes.
Because if we saw the comparison between first and second advance estimates, because second advance estimates were also released, we saw that the growth of consumption is scaled down even further for the current financial year. It was 4.4%. It has been even lower. And for the fourth quarter, if we can now make an estimate of the fourth quarter, it will come to just 1%.
Wow.
So consumption overall is a cause of concern for this year. What we are discussing in the survey is a longer time span. It is from 2011-12 to 22-23. And this the consumption slowdown that we are seeing is particularly from 2022, the last year. Since then, we are seeing some fault lines in consumption, and that is the main reason. What is driving growth is definitely the public capex. Government spending again only on capital expenditure, but revenues expenditure was again in contractionary zone in the third quarter. So yes, consumption needs to pick up to ensure a sustainable growth, because as we've seen, the growth of CapEx is being consistently lowered. The growth this year for the next financial year is lower as compared to the previous year. And there are limits to how much the government can keep supporting economy through CapEx. And what is needed is the private investment to pick up. Mm-hmm. And private investment will pick up only if consumption picks up.
Correct.
They will, you know, lift the slack on capacity only when consumption picks up. And we did a discussion on consumption 2 weeks back, we saw that yes, consumption is a problem looking at both IIP numbers as well as the FMCG goods.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. That's what the latest data on consumption shows us. There is a lower disparity between urban and rural consumption, which is great news. Particularly good in this is that as you go to the lower income levels, this disparity becomes less and less, which means that government policies targeting the rural poor have been effective in at least bringing them to around the same level or nearer to the urban like poor. At the higher levels of income, of course, that disparity is wider, but that is also to be expected. What is really interesting is that the basket of goods that rural households are spending their money on is changing. They're spending less of their money on food, which is a great sign. You need to move from spending just on necessities to spending on more things. That's what's happening. Now, what these more things are it's medical expenses, non-hospitalization medical expenses. They're spending on conveyance. Within food also, there's a shift. They're spending less on things like cereal and spending more on processed foods. So all of this gives you a little insight into what the rural Indian actually is, rather than what we think him to be, him or her to be. So this data is absolutely fascinating. But on that note, that's all we have for you. Thank you so much for watching.